Welcome back to El Paso Primetime, Cindy. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Congratulations on a wonderful book. Really important stuff my kids have taught me. Hot on the heels of the other one that we got to talk about last year. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since we've talked almost.
I know, and that's true. My dog book, which actually hit the New York Times bestseller list. I was very happy about that. That was a really nice surprise. And this book, actually, it's interesting because this didn't really follow that book. This was the original really important stuff my kids have taught me came out, over 20 years ago when my kids were little. But this is a re-release. We just decided, my editor and I said, you know what, let's take that book, which has kind of been a classic, and it's done really well. It, you know, Oprah featured it as one of her favorite things, and it sold extremely well in many languages. We said, let's take this book and let's release it with photos, some really engaging photos and some compelling stories, and let's kind of use the 20th anniversary as an excuse to do that so we can sort of show it to people again with a visual component. So that's what we've done, and I really love how it's turned out, I have to say.
Were your kids the inspiration to this, or is this a bigger picture?
They were. About 20 years ago, I would say, I was dropping my daughter Alex off at preschool. She's 26 now, so it's over 20 years ago. And, you know, the teacher and I were watching the kids running around the playground, and we watched as one little girl skipped over to another little girl who was standing alone by the door, and she said, come on, play, don't just watch. And the teacher and I kind of stopped and absorbed this declaration about the importance of engaging in life, you know, rather than just watching from the sidelines. And she shook her head, the teacher shook her head and said, you know, some days I think the kids teach me more than I teach them. And it was like that light bulb going off over my head. I said, that is a great book idea. I'm going to write a book with aphorisms like this, with all these amazingly insightful and creative things that kids say and do. And I'm going to watch my kids. Of course, this was pre-internet, so it was just kind of observation and just kind of following my kids around to school and to the playground and everywhere they went. And I'm just going to start coming up with a list of these really remarkable things that they say and do, with that they can, because they're such, you know, they're very creative and they see things through a completely different lens than adults do. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the book came to be. I wanted every aphorism in the book to reflect real life, but also to have kind of a deeper meaning. So it was more of a philosophy book. I didn't want anything to be a cliche, but I wanted everything to have a double meaning. So it really read as a book of how we live our lives.
You mentioned in here it's okay to giggle. As a matter of fact, it's probably the best thing in the world to do is to giggle.
Right.
Do you think adults have lost the charm and the innocence of just having an opportunity to giggle at just about anything?
You know, that's a really good question, because the little guy on the cover of the book, every time I look at him, I smile. But his photo in the book goes with a little bit of text that talks about how babies, of course, laugh long before they can talk, because laughter is more about human connections than anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. So little children have many more human connections in the course of a day than adults do, because they reach out to people. They're always waving to people they don't know and starting conversations with kids in the playground and turning to the person next to them and starting a conversation. And as a result of that, they laugh more because they have more of these human interactions. And we could really learn from that. That's a wonderful lesson that they teach us.
The other lesson, well, there's several lessons, actually. The curiosity factor about life. They just want to see what it does, why it does.
Absolutely. I mean, ask why until you understand. That's one of the aphorisms in the book, as is look behind the puppet theater. They're very curious. They ask a lot of questions. I mean, actually, kids average about 300 questions a day, if you can believe that.
Wow.
The 4-year-old girls ask the most questions at 390 a day. So that's kind of amazing when you think about it. But they're so eager to take in new information and to just try and understand the world around them. I mean, they take nothing at face value. They want to know everything there is to know. And it's that level of curiosity. We do lose that a bit as adults. And it's too bad, because it's really a neat way to sort of be in the world, just always be wanting to learn and know more about the world around you.
Why do you think adults lose that sense of curiosity?
You know, I know that people have done research and said that kids tend to lose a lot of what makes them very childlike toward the end of elementary school, when they're very much more aware of what their peers think of them, and they're much more they're less likely to take chances and to say things that might be a little bit kooky because they don't want to be judged by kids. When they're very young, I feel like they are sort of like jazz musicians in that they're spontaneous and they're very free of inhibitions, and they'll consider something from every possible angle. They don't care if it's practical. They don't care what other people think. Because of that, they can come up with some really remarkable insights and amazing ideas because they really are just looking at everything through a very genuine, pure lens. But they do tend to lose that, I think, toward the end of elementary school. Maybe the daydreaming and the being distracted by things is just less frequent, because I think probably the ages of just like 3 and 4 and 5, when they're still really discovering the world, I think that's when they just tend to have the most remarkable insights, frankly.
You know, I had a conversation a long, 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 long time ago with the astronaut Frank Borman. And he had remarked that the reason why he holds all the patents to all of the laser beams everywhere in the world, the reason why he did that is because he never lost his childhood.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
If you can hang on to it, it's wonderful. I mean, what usually happens to us adults is that we sort of step away from the big picture and we get more and more involved in the sort of the minutiae of the day, you know, the tiny things that take up a day, the to-do list, the picking up the dry cleaning, you know, make sure you wash the dishes, make sure you mail out the electric bill. I mean, we get so involved in these tiny things that we don't very often have a chance to step back and look at the big picture and look at the bigger world. You know, the kids really have the time to look at. And if I think if we could continue to just take those steps back, it would be a richer life, and we would be more creative, and we'd have more ingenious ideas.
Cindy Copeland is our guest this afternoon on El Paso Primetime, and we're talking about her new book, which is actually celebrating the 20th anniversary of Really Important Stuff My Kids Have Taught Me. And I know parents all over the place learn from their kids. I know if I had kids, I would learn from them. I actually learned more about my dog from your book, The Really Important Things My Dog Has Taught Me.
I love that.
And I see what happens with dogs and children. They both have this wanton desire to just live happy life.
That's absolutely true. I think they both very much embrace what's happening in the moment. You know, they don't worry about the past. They don't worry about the future. They just experience life as kind of one exciting surprise after another, and that's a delightful way to live. I mean, the quote in the book of the aphorism is, don't worry about crossing the street until you get to the curb, and that's the way kids live their lives. They don't worry about that, you know? And I think that sort of daily enthusiasm, the cheer that with which, you know, kids and dogs, you know, approach every day is wonderful. They're also, I would say, kids and dogs, the other thing they have in common is that they sort of love us as we are. They don't expect us to be anything else, and that's terrific too. They forgive quickly, they move on quickly, and they love us as we are, not as we should be.
Midway through the book, you mentioned that there's a lot of different ways to get to the top of the jungle gym.
Yes.
We as adults know the jungle gym to be this formidable device that prevents us from moving from one step to another, or at least we think so. But in your book, it showed me something that I hadn't learned until now, that it's all up to me whether or not I get to the top of the jungle gym.
Right. And you get to define your own jungle gym, and you get to define how you get there. And I think that's the point of that. It's just we have to allow people to, you know, to say, this is the mountain I'm going to climb. This is the piece of equipment I want to get to the top, you know, and this is how I'm going to get there. I mean, as you see in that photo, it's an old vintage photo of like a 1950s playground scene. And some of the kids are hanging upside down. Some are hanging by one arm. Some are sort of shimmying up. Some are standing on top, you know, in a celebratory way. I mean, they're all getting to the top, and they're in their own way. And we have to allow people around us to do that. We tend to want everyone to do things the same way, and, you know, in a way that makes sense to us. But, you know, we have to allow people to be individuals and to be unique and to just sort of follow their own way.
Cindy Copeland has been our guest on El Paso Primetime in Casa Su Casa. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.